Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is speaking. Let's listen up. He's going to be speaking. We're waiting for the translation here, but he is speaking on the anniversary, of course, of the 2006 war with Israel, what they call the anniversary of what the Lebanese or the Hezbollah party calls the victory. Of course, we know that there was a deadly war raged on Lebanon by the Israelis that saw a lot of damage to the infrastructure. Hezbollah and many in the international arena politically say that in the long run it was a victory for Hezbollah.
For your great presence in this anniversary, this big occasion, the fifth anniversary of the victory, the historic victory, the godly victory, which you brought about with your blood, with your tears, with your pain, with your wishes, with your sacrifices, with your perseverance. And I, as in every year, on every occasion, I believe it is my duty in general to express my thanks and to salute the souls of all of the martyrs of the Lebanese army, the martyrs of the people, the martyrs of the resistance, from all different factions of resistance. I salute the families of the martyrs. I salute all of the wounded and the families of those who were wounded. I salute all those who were taken prisoners in that war and who were freed again. I salute all of those who were displaced from their homes. I salute all of those who supported them. I salute all of those whose houses were destroyed, those whose possessions were destroyed. I salute all those who supported and stood side by side, whether in practice or in word, or expressed a stance, or prayed for, or smiled for, or shed a tear for, here in Lebanon, or in the Arab and Islamic world, and all over the world in general. The countries, the governments, the peoples, the institutions, the forces, the parties, the groups, the personnel, the figures, the individuals, and anyone else I might have forgotten. I always renew my thanks and I always renew my salute to all of those who stood in support of Lebanon and in support of the resistance in Lebanon, which brought about this victory. Now I will go back to what happened during the war, my dear brothers and sisters. It is not only to shed light and focus on the heroics, it's also to learn the lessons in order to learn for the future, the coming years, the coming days, and what we will confront in the upcoming phase. Now, regarding the days of the war, I believe that one of the most important factors which brought about victory in the July 2006 war and which brought about defeat of the Israelis was the following factor. In our field, we had perseverance, we had confidence on our side, we had mutual confidence, we had hope in achieving victory, we had faith, we showed perseverance in all fields, in all different aspects, the perseverance of the Lebanese people, the general people, the public, the political perseverance, which means not giving up to the conditions and to the pressures and to the settlements or the solutions which wouldn't have been appropriate for Lebanon, the perseverance of the security services and the army. And the important factor in this perseverance and which laid the foundations for all other perseverance was the perseverance of the resistance fighters, those fighters who stood on their own two feet on the battlefield. This perseverance of the resistance fighters by itself, regardless of all the results, this by itself represented a real miracle. How can thousands of resistance fighters, thousands of mujahideen who don't have what they possessed before, they didn't have an air force to protect them, how could they fight day and night for 33 days in all the villages, in all the areas, in all the valleys, the mountains, in all different types of warfare? They fought against the soldiers, the military contingencies, the Israeli military personnel. They confronted the tanks. They fired and launched the rockets. And the air was raining on them. Air force power, rocket force power from the Israelis, which was unimaginable. The houses were destroyed around them, right and left. This historic perseverance, this legendary perseverance of the resistance fighters, legendary in all terms, on any different all different military levels, no human being can understand such a perseverance. In the July 2006 war, all of those who were on the battlefield, they stood firmly on the battlefield. In Bint Jbeil, the Israeli army opened a hole, and they hoped that the resistance fighters would run away from this exit or from this hole. However, the resistance fighters stood, and others came to join them, to stand firmly with perseverance. This shows the strength, the factor of strength, which we must always pay attention to. On the other hand, on the other side, on the Israeli side, the Israeli enemy began his war on Lebanon with arrogance. With arrogance, with hubris, with confidence which was boundless, confidence which was more than anyone would expect. Although they were still learning the lesson of the July of the 2000 withdrawal and the lesson of the war against the Palestinians, however, the nature of the Israelis is the nature of arrogance. However, very quickly, after the perseverance of Lebanon was shown, perseverance of all different Lebanon's factions and groups, especially the resistance fighters, the state of confidence quickly came a state of weakness, confusion, an absence of confidence between the soldiers and the generals of the Israeli army, between the Israeli army's leadership and the government, between the government and the Israeli army, and between the Israeli people who occupy Palestine and the Israeli government and army. So we can speak about two levels. We can speak about a higher level, which is the deterioration of confidence, and we can speak about a lower level, which is a shake of confidence. And this is what we witnessed in the remaining days of the war, whether it be on the level of the political performance or the military performance or the popular performance. This war, hence, and as the Israelis themselves confess, and as their generals confess, as their intellectuals and leaders, and even their public and street, and even as the opinion poll in the Israelis, as it shows, this war had dangerous repercussions on the level of the entity, its present and its future, the Israeli entity, its political, security and military future. However, in my point of view, and we're speaking now on the fifth annual anniversary of the war, I believe the most important result, and it is a strategic result, by the way, the most important result of the July 2006 war was the collapse or the shake of trust between the Israeli people and the Israeli leadership and the Israeli army, especially inside the army, the shaking of trust or shaking of confidence. On the other hand, on our side, there was an increase in confidence. The confidence increased in the resistance, confidence increased in the choice of resistance, in the resistance fighters in Lebanon and in Palestine, in Iraq and in the Arab and Islamic world. This is a psychological factor, the factor of confidence, of respect, the factor of faith in the righteousness of the choice we made to confront, or losing confidence, losing hope on the other side, and doubting the righteousness of the choice we have made. A very important strategic factor which might be decisive from our side and from their side in drawing the future of the conflict in the region. And so, now I will speak about the aftermath of the war. So we find that Israel, with the support of the United States of America and its other supporters in the world, Israel at that time, ever since the end of the war, it specified a goal for itself, actually a number of goals. However, the most important goal of all of these goals was to regain the confidence which was lost between the people and the military leadership and the government, or to once again build up the trust which had collapsed. And at the same time, naturally, the Israelis were trying to regain their strength and their military and security and political capability for the sake of imposing what it wants in the future, imposing its conditions, whether it be on Lebanon or on our brothers in Palestine or on Syria or on the other countries in the Arab and Islamic world. So now I can speak about some factors which the Israelis are focusing on to regain their confidence. I'll speak about two important factors and I'll debate them because they all affect us. And this evaluation is very important for anyone who wants to analyze or evaluate the possibilities of what could happen in the future, the possibility of a war or the non-occurrence of a war. The first factor is the efforts, the military efforts, the efforts to awaken, to rise once again, the efforts which are being pursued by the Israelis ever since the end of the war, the repeated maneuvers, the military maneuvers which are being held, the training of troops once again, calling on the army reserve and training the army reserve, developing the weapons and the equipment, working on finding a military solution to the problem of rockets which fall not now on Haifa or after Haifa or after Haifa, however, after Haifa. Now, to fill in the military gaps, the gaps which were shown clearly in the July 2006 war, such as the Navy warships, the military tanks which were targeted in southern Lebanon, such as command and control, such as cooperation between the different military branches. All of these are efforts which are being pursued, in addition to beginning with unprecedented maneuvers in the history of the entity in the home front. The home front meaning the people, the state, the institutions, their community, their society. They began with turning point one, then turning point two, three, four, and just weeks ago they ended maneuvers turning point five, maneuvers which are for the home front, which include all occupied Palestine, all of the Israeli entity. The aim of these maneuvers of the home front was to address the situation of the people or to teach the people and train them how to react if a new war actually occurs. And after that, all of these efforting and maneuvers, whether it be militarily or security or intelligence-wise or on the home front, they are all speaking about this in the media. All of this is being mentioned in the media. One of the aims to mention all this in the media is to build trust again, to bring trust to the Israelis once again, to tell the Israeli people, no, your Israeli government is strong, it's determined, and your Israeli army is strong and it's determined, and you must also be strong to confront any danger or any challenge or any future war. However, is this, or has this brought about the appropriate result which the Israelis want to achieve? I'll go back to the Israelis themselves. I'll go back to the Israeli opinion polls, the comments of the Israeli generals and the Israeli political leaders and security officials, military officials, journalists, people, parties, members of the Israeli Knesset, etc. When we go back, we find that they confess that they are suffering from a lot of big problems which haven't been solved until now. A lot of big problems for the Israelis have been solved until now, whether it be militarily or security-wise or in the home front. If we take an example, turning point five, the home front maneuvers which were held just weeks ago, it's enough to point out to two results. I pointed out to them before, or to one of them before. What is the result? They held these maneuvers, regardless of how much people responded or how much they cooperated, how serious they were. Of course, some people went on Israeli television. More than one person said, this is all nonsense. When the war actually occurs and when the rockets begin to land and fall, nobody will respond to anyone and nobody will see anyone. That was what the Israelis said. However, one of the big results of the Israeli home front maneuvers, there are very two big results. One of course, the first one of them is that the Israelis, what are they saying? The Israeli leadership is saying, is telling the Israeli people that we are not able with our military means. The Israeli army is incapable with its military capabilities of protecting the Israeli home front. It's not capable of preventing all of the rockets from reaching its targets inside the Israeli entity. They're not able to prevent these rockets from reaching their targets. And the Iron Dome, the experiment, and Heights and Mitz and all of this, until now, this hasn't brought about the appropriate results for the Israelis. And also, the Israelis are incapable of reaching the areas where the resistance fighters are present and from where they launch these rockets, whether they be in Lebanon or in Gaza. They can't reach the areas where from where these rockets are being launched, if we speak according to their terms. So what are they saying? What that Israeli is saying? They are holding maneuvers to regain confidence once again, but at the same time, there is a message which they are giving to the Israeli people, that the message is that the era whereby we as an Israeli army, whereby with our reputation, with our voice, with our threats, with our air force power, with our long arm, the era whereby we could protect the home front, this era has now ended. This ended in the July 2006 war. The second result, what are the Israelis saying? What the Israeli army is saying? It's saying that in any future war, there is no longer a home front and a military front. It's all one front together, and the home front is all part of the war. And so if Israel wants to wage a war, all the home front will be part of the war. What is the psychological result? How does this affect psychologically? It affects the hope, it affects regaining security, confidence, and stability. So this all doesn't reach the appropriate results for the Israelis. It doesn't lead to the appropriate results. Now I'll speak about the second factor. The first factor was the military measures, the maneuvers. Of course, they are filling some gaps and some problems for the Israelis. But until now, these measures haven't been able to address the crisis of confidence which exists. And as I said, the factor of confidence is very decisive in any war, in the results of any war. The second factor is a psychological factor as well, a media factor. Lately in the media, they have focused their efforts on convincing, on regaining confidence once again. And one of the issues is that some Israelis, not all of them, some Israelis have begun to belittle the results of the July 2006 war, and they are beginning to draw another picture. At the beginning, the Israelis were all convinced. They all said that what happened in July 2006 war was a failure, was a defeat. Name it what you want. And they formed the Vinograd Committee, and this was very clear. However, lately, in order to try and make the situation seem less worse for their people, they're beginning to look here and there about achievements, Israeli achievements from this war. They said, yes, there were failures. However, there are also important results which Israel achieved during the July 2006 war, or they call it the Second Lebanese War. This is what the Israelis are trying to say. Let's take a look at what these results are, the results of the July 2006 war. Let me comment before going into this. Imagine that the Israelis are trying to regain confidence, or are trying to put confidence back in their people and in their army by making lies and by misleading and by exaggerating certain matters to make them look like they're big achievements. I'll take one example, which is from Shimon Peres, who is now the president of that state. And He is the remainder of the generation of the Sharon and Ishaq Rabin and the other generation. And he is the leader of the Zionists maybe now. What was his conclusion? And others are trying to repeat this. He said that there are two achievements. Pay attention. Two achievements, two great achievements were made, which deserve to be shed light on, which were achieved in the July 2006 war. The first achievement was that X, meaning me, I was sent to a shelter, to live underground. This needs a prayers on Muhammad, of course. This is one big achievement the Israelis say, that the July 2006 war forced me to live underground. The second achievement, according to the Israelis, is that they were able to preserve calm on the northern frontier of occupied Palestine. Now, let's quote what Peres said, so I'm not accusing him. Peres says in an interview recently, he says that the war stopped the launching of rockets on our settlements. And Hassan Nasrallah is hiding in his shelter and he is running away from the terror or the fear of the international law. These are the two achievements he speaks about. What is the big scandal? This same person, Shimon Peres, when the Vinograd Committee was formed and when they met with the officials, and at that time he was part of the team. Remember, he was the foreign minister, he was a member of the government. He wasn't the foreign minister, Livni was the foreign minister. But he was a member of the government and he was part of a small team concerned with managing the war. What did he say back then when the Vinograd Committee was formed? In his confessions in the Vinograd report, he says, in the end, the whole world stood in our support. Yes, that's right. The whole world supported Israel because we are weak, not because we are right. And there was a feeling and a sense that Israel is not what it always had been in the July 2006 war. Israel no longer accelerates, no longer has the element of surprise, no longer is as strong as it was. For this reason, we lost part of our capability internationally and we consider ourselves today weaker than we were before. We have lost our deterrence capability in the eyes of the Arabs, and this is manifested in taking the legitimacy away from the presence of Israel or the existence of Israel. Before this war, before July 2006 war, the Arab world had recognized or given up to the issue of Israel being existing. However, after the war, this changed. This same person who gave this evaluation, what is he saying now? He's saying they achieved victory and made these two achievements. One person was forced to go underground and on the border there is calm. So let me comment now on this side, on this aspect. First of all, these comments are not my comments. I just set them in order. If you look with the Israelis, you would find that they have the same commentary as well. They themselves responded to Shimon Peres. First of all, sending someone to shelter or underground was not even a goal of the war in the first place. During the 33 days, when they were speaking, when the Israeli leaders were speaking, nobody said that one of the aims of this war was to prevent someone from walking on the street. Number two, one of such a result to prevent someone from walking on the street, this does not deserve a war to be launched which leads to dangerous repercussions on the level of the entity of the enemy, and anyone sane cannot take such a step. Number three, none of these goals was achieved. The Israelis themselves are saying this. Those who are trying to mislead and lie, none of these aims were achieved. One of the aims was to crush Hezbollah or weaken Hezbollah. On the contrary, Hezbollah has strengthened. One of the aims was also to regain the two Israeli soldiers who were taken captive without negotiations, and they were sent back via negotiations, and our prisoners came back with their heads hung high. One of the aims of the war was to find a new Middle East, but the war ended and this goal ended, and at the same time the Bush-Condorice era ended with it. Now we'll go to the second achievement which the Israelis speak about. They speak about calm on the northern frontier of occupied Palestine. In logically, philosophically, there's something which is clear. If you build a house, for example, and someone says, I want to build a house for you, you don't have a house, I want to build it for you, but you have a house, what do you need it to be built? Or someone, for example, he's brown-skinned, you tell him, I want to make you brown-skinned, you tell him, my skin is already brown, what do you need to make it brown? So this is a fact. Now, the border between occupied Palestine and Lebanon was calm after May 25, 2000, and it didn't need a war, which leads to all of these losses for Israel in order for calm to come back, because the calm was already there in the first place before the war. This calm was imposed by the resistance because of the victory achieved in May 2000. This calm on the border, this calm, this assurance on the border, this confidence of the people of the south who went back to their houses and built their houses, even right on the border, this calm was imposed by the resistance because of the balance of fear, the balance of deterrence. These Israelis who are speaking about calm, they forget that they always, ever since 1948, ever since the occupying of Palestine, they were always the ones who waged the war, who began with the assaults, who committed massacres, who entered our territories and occupied our territories and take away our resources. Just a few years ago, they still took advantage of the Wazani River. However, because of the resistance, calm was imposed. The assault was prevented because the resistance is not a project of war. The resistance always was and still is. We always say the duty of resistance is to defend its country, to defend its territory, its people, to defend the dignity of its inhabitants, to defend the honor of this people. And this was achieved on the 25th of May, the year 2000, before the July 2006 war. So even this talk about calm on the border, Israelis. However, despite all of these Israeli efforts, the highest voice in the entity is still for those politicians and those generals and those intellectuals who still speak about defeat and failure and incapability and who call for seriously addressing these gaps. However, the failure will continue and be repeated in any future war. Now, I don't have time to tell you, but please monitor big high-ranking generals, current high-ranking generals and former generals and former Joint Chiefs of Staff, former leaders of the Mossad, former leaders of the Israeli National Security Council, in addition to political intellectuals, all of these Israeli figures, personnel, they warn the Israeli government against any adventure, against taking any adventure, not a regional war on this whole block, even against Lebanon itself, even taking on Hezbollah itself, they warned them against this. All these Israeli officials warned the Israeli government from going ahead with an adventure against Lebanon, and they say that this adventure, the results of it are unknown, and some of them say very frankly that the results of such an adventure will be disastrous and that the failure will be repeated. And this is not something I'm inventing, this is what they say. So based upon all of this, all of these measures were not sufficient to rebuild the confidence, which I said was a decisive factor. On the other side, ever since the end of the July 2006 war until today, I'm speaking about our front here in Lebanon, efforts are being pursued and efforts are continuing to be made in order to express doubt in the resistance, in its victories, in its achievements, in its intentions, in its background, in its aims. And efforts are being made to tarnish its image here in Lebanon. And hundreds of millions of dollars were spent for this goal. And within this same perspective, we are also witnessing efforts to accuse honorable resistance fighters by the International Tribunal, accuse them of assassinating the martyr former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, and efforts are being made to accuse Hezbollah, accusing them by all these lies and fabrications. You look at them every day on the newspapers, on the internet, on TV, fabrications and lies which are baseless. And they have nothing to do with the culture or the mindset or the behavior of Hezbollah. However, the aim in this perspective or in this context is to strike the confidence which was built and which was strengthened, the confidence in the resistance, the confidence of resistance in itself and the confidence of the people in Lebanon in the resistance. However, in the end here of this part of my speech, I would like to tell the friends and the enemies that our faith in God and our belief in His promise and His victory and our belief in the righteousness of our choice and our path cannot be shaken. However, on the contrary, it is stronger than it was ever before because of our experience and because of the events and because of the victories we have achieved. And I'd like to say as well, I'd like to tell you, as someone who knows details, that the strength of the resistance today in Lebanon, on the level of its morale, on the level of its coherence, on the level of its courage, on the level of its human capability and its material capability, is stronger and higher than it was ever before. This is something which the Israeli enemy knows as well. The enemy today, as part of its psychological war and as an attempt to regain the confidence of its public, of the Israeli public, it's resorting to our rhetoric. They're trying to do what we do. The Israelis said, for example, that they promised the Lebanese that in the next war there will be surprises. So they're imitating us. It doesn't suit them to imitate us. And we won't be surprised. Of course, there's a difference. Why won't we be surprised? Because we believe that Israel has strength and weaponry and technology and technical capabilities, all what America gives it, limitlessly. And so for this reason, we won't be surprised with anything. However, you who view us as an arrogant power, you who look at us down and believe we are less or weak, you came and you know that we have courage and we have tactics and we have some developed weaponry. I'd like to tell the Israelis, listen to the Israeli generals who tasted failure in Lebanon. And by the way, by accident today, the current Joint Chief of Staff was the head of the contingency which was defeated in Lebanon in year 2000. And he witnessed how they quickly didn't even have time to gather their tanks and left the Lahad army and quickly left. And the commander of the northern area now, northern frontier now, he was in Lebanon as well. And he was subject to an ambush by the Islamic resistance. And there are four bullets in his chest. You generals who tasted failure in Lebanon, and in Lebanon you will only taste failure. That's the only thing you will taste. And after all of the developments which have taken place, after all of the improvements the Israelis have tried to make, all the attempts to fill the gaps, all of the developments which have occurred here in Lebanon, in the region, what's going on around us, and in light of all the events, if someone asked me, of course, we are not people who want war. We are people who defend our country and our dignity, and we are not looking for war. However, if the war actually occurs, it's our responsibility to confront. And if someone comes and asks me, before, of course, it was nice, the images which you showed before the speech. If someone asked me, if a war occurs now, are you ready to say the same sentence which you said at the beginning, in the beginning days when the buildings were collapsing at the beginning of July 2006 war? And I would say, today I am ready to say with all strength, with all determination, and with bigger faith, I am ready to say and to tell you today, to end this part of my speech, according to my knowledge of this enemy, and God speaks about this enemy because God showed us this enemy, God introduced us to this enemy. They are the ones who are really focused on their lives. The confidence which comes by lies, such a confidence quickly collapses. They don't have courage in themselves. They don't have any faith in themselves. They are, most of all, the biggest people who have doubt in themselves. According to my knowledge of this enemy and of this people, according to my knowledge of these heroic resistance fighters, as I promise you with victory all the time, I promise you with victory again. So for this reason, I'd like to tell the Zionists, do not try to come near Lebanon, and please forget your dreams about Lebanon forever. The second issue, if time allows us, I might speak a bit about the government and the Arab situation and the situation in Syria. However, if I take too long on the second issue, it'll be enough for this. The second issue is the issue of the oil and gas and the maritime borders with occupied Palestine. A lot was said previously. However, allow me, because of the importance of this subject, it is very important to take advantage of this speech and of this occasion to explain this subject on my own, with my own terms, because it needs focus, people's focus, and it needs people to follow up. It needs people to follow up. First of all, the Lebanese must realize that very, very seriously, they are up against a very, very serious opportunity, which is unprecedented in Lebanon's history, an opportunity for Lebanon to become a rich country. Before, when we read the Quranic verses, it said that Allah has supported you and has provided you with good things, so maybe you would be thankful. These sacrifices in the end will open new doors. Lebanon today has in its water, in its territorial water, it has a huge, huge riches of oil and gas. And this is a national resource. It's not the possession. For example, some Lebanese say, let's leave everything for privatization. It's not the possession of a sectarian, of a religious sect or a specific side. What we have in our territorial waters is a natural resource, a natural rich. The official stance is that what exists, the riches and the resources in our territorial waters are worth hundreds of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, numbers which we never dreamed about as Lebanese. The biggest number which we heard about in Lebanon, unfortunately, was not the number in our pockets, however, the number of our debt, how much we owe, 50 billion, 55 billion. So now we have a big opportunity. If the Lebanese behave appropriately, if they deal with this file with a national responsibility far away from any enmity, far away from being immature, if they deal with it in a mature way, if they deal responsibly, as I said, we are looking at an opportunity to pay all our debt, to pay all our debt and to strengthen our economy and to solve our financial problems, to improve the standard of living here in Lebanon. And we also will have the opportunity for Lebanon to become a strong, capable country which has everything. And imagine hundreds of billions of dollars for a small country, for a people, how many? 4 billion, 5 billion, the inhabitants of Lebanon. Even those I'd like to hear to speak, even those Lebanese immigrants or the Lebanese who were displaced, if they want to come back to Lebanon, they must work with this file. They must work in this area. Because what obliged many people to leave was this financial, economic situation. So we are looking at an opportunity. The current government, the parliament, with unique steps with unique efforts, it brought about a law for the oil and gas reserves. The energy ministry is making the preparations, and the Lebanese government has committed itself to endorse the law of oil and gas during the year of 2011, meaning during the next few months. So I believe at the beginning of the year 2012, we should begin seriously, whether it be allowing companies to come and to begin with studies or to complete their studies and begin the digging or the of course locating the oil fields. And here I would like to add something else. The economic area in the territorial waters, according to the officials in the state, I don't have my own information, the area is 22,500 square kilometers, and it has a lot of oil reserves. And part of this 22,500 kilometers squared, in part of this area, there is part of it which is close to the border between Lebanon and occupied Palestine. In this area in the territorial waters, according to the officials in the state, I don't have my own information, the area is 22,500 square kilometers, and it has a lot of oil reserves. And part of this 22,500 kilometers squared, in part of this area, there is part of it which is close to the border between Lebanon and occupied Palestine. In this area, it is 850 kilometers squared, actually. Lebanon believes that this area is for itself, that it's part of Lebanon's territorial waters. The Israelis, what did they say? The Israelis themselves drew the boundary, and they put this 850 kilometers squared in their territorial waters, in the territorial waters which they consider for themselves, although it's really for occupied Palestine. So there are 850 kilometers squared. And by the way, this 850 kilometers squared, the studies say that this area has oil reserves and gas reserves worth billions of dollars in this area, in this 850 kilometers squared. Lebanon officially believes that this 850 kilometers are for itself, and so Israel has no right to take this area, and it has no right to look for gas and oil in that area, or to benefit from the gas and oil in that area, or build any oil refineries there, to build anything there. So this is a very sensitive issue. And I'll go back to say that our economic situation in Lebanon, we lived a bit from agriculture. Now we don't want to open new files. You know where the agriculture has reached right now. We live from manufacturing. You all know what's happened to the manufacturing. Lebanon was left with a country of services. Countries are even competing with Lebanon when it comes to services. In the end, we have an opportunity to permanently solve the situation, to permanently solve all of our problems, our economic, financial, and growth problems, all these problems. And we must not lose this opportunity. All of the officials expressed their stance. I would like to express our stance as well as a resistance. Before I say first, second, and third, I want to make a comment. Of course, when I speak according to the logic of the resistance, any resistance fighter has nothing called Israel. We don't speak about borders, Lebanon's borders with Israel. We speak about borders between Lebanon and occupied Palestine, whether they be land borders or maritime borders. And so we do not recognize Israel's right to exist, not to mention its right to benefit from oil or gas from Lebanese territorial waters or Palestinian territorial waters. This is our ideological stance. Now, Here I will speak from a national stance, someone who wants to preserve the Lebanese national interests, as someone who knows the facts. Now, first of all, we in the resistance, we consider that drawing the maritime borders is the responsibility of the state. And so we as a resistance, we have no opinion in this perspective, a technical opinion or anything else. We have no opinion whatsoever. Just like what happened on the eve of the withdrawal in the year 2000, we stood because they began to argue about the Shibah farms, the Kfar Shuba hills and other places. And I remember at that time I made a speech and I said that the issue of demarcating the land borders is the responsibility of the state. The Lebanese state, with its institutions, with its official institutions, when it says this is a territory for Palestine and this is a territory for Lebanon, we agree as a resistance. So if territory remains, which the Lebanese state considers as Lebanese territory, the resistance will act according to it as such, according to this. The same goes for the maritime borders. The Lebanese state is the body, is the side which says where the borders are. However, when the Lebanese state considers a certain area part of Lebanon's territorial waters, when it considers this, when it says this, the Lebanese resistance will act accordingly, as if this area really is Lebanese territorial areas or Lebanese territorial waters. The second point, we believe, we completely believe, and we have complete confidence in the government, the current government, which is following up this matter. We have confidence that this government will not lose the opportunity, will not deal lightly with any right, with any Lebanese rights to its territorial waters or to its oil reserves, whatever be the pressures to its oil and gas reserves. And maybe, I don't want to say for sure, and maybe this government at this time, it is the opportunity for Lebanon. It represents an opportunity for Lebanon to maintain these reserves. Number three, we call on the Lebanese government to take quick steps, to take quick steps and implement these steps. If we divide this file, if we say in the 850 kilometer area on the border, we have the territorial waters inside, away from this area, which is not debatable. This internal area, whereby we have oil and gas, the Lebanese government is required to quickly take steps and to end all of the formalities, to take all necessary measures, and the efforts must begin to get the oil out. Time is very important, and this depends on the government and how this government deals with this. The government must deal with this matter as a priority, which is more important than anything else, because when Lebanon has billions of dollars, then you know how many problems could be solved. A lot of problems will be solved. There is a slogan which the people of Baalbek know, I won't repeat it today. In this perspective, regarding the territorial waters inside, which are not debatable and which are not a subject of difference with any side, I can also say on this fifth anniversary of the July 2006 war, I can say with all confidence and tell all of the countries, all of the governments and companies, all of those who might want to come and make deals with Lebanon and begin to extract the oil, I can tell them that this Lebanon, this country, is capable of protecting these companies and protecting all of these oil refineries, all of this equipment. Lebanon is capable. Why? Not because it has a strong air force or military air force. No, because those who could make an assault on these refineries, they have their own gas and oil reserves. And anyone who touches the future oil and gas locations in the Lebanese territorial waters, his own gas and oil locations will be harmed. And they know that we can target their gas and oil refineries. And so Lebanon is capable and deserves these riches and deserves to preserve them. Sometimes God sends a reward when He begins to feel that you are ready to preserve His gift and His reward. Number four, when it comes to the 850 kilometer squared area, which is on the border, we said even this area has oil and gas reserves worth billions of dollars. From now, because the Lebanese state considers these as Lebanese waters, we hence consider it as Lebanese waters as well. And so, in our language and in our rhetoric, there is no area of dispute. There is an area which is subject to an assault, an area subject to an assault. Now, this area which is subject to assault, Lebanon has its opportunity diplomatically and politically to regain this area by demarcating the borders. However, we caution the Israelis. We caution them against extending their hand to this area. And we caution them against taking any steps which will lead to stealing Lebanon's reserves from its own territorial waters. Now, even according to priorities, Lebanon might not take the oil companies and gas companies to the border area. They might take them to the closer inner coastline. However, this area, until Lebanon decides to take advantage of it, we must caution the Israelis not against extending their hand to this area, to this 850 kilometer squared area in the Lebanese territorial waters. And we also call on the Lebanon to take all diplomatic and political efforts and legal efforts to regain this area and to establish a state sovereignty over it. And here I'd like to tell the people, we call on the Lebanese people, all the Lebanese people, to follow up and to support the Lebanese government in this very important matter. If this government or if this state, if it's capable of extracting oil or gas, this oil and gas will go to the Lebanese budget, not to March 14 nor to March 8, to all Lebanese. And in the end, I'd like to say, in conclusion, I'd like to tell the friend and the enemy that Lebanon is called upon, and it's capable, by the way, is called upon and it's capable of depending on all of its strengths in order to preserve its natural rights and to regain its natural rights. And one of the most important strengths of Lebanon is the equation of the army, people, and resistance. This is a very important matter, and we are all concerned in dealing with it. When it comes to the upcoming stage with the Israelis, and it seems that there's no more time left, so I will conclude now. Of course, the other subjects will be addressed. We have Ramadan coming up. I will have a lot of talk. I will have a lot of things to say. Now, when it comes to the upcoming period, every Israeli accusation, every Israeli threat, we must be aware. We must be aware that it's part of a psychological war on our people and on our communities, and it's also an attempt for them to regain confidence in themselves. But here in Lebanon, it's ended. After the July 2006 war, Lebanon has entered into a totally different period. However, what is most important of all is that we cooperate and we preserve Lebanon's strengths. In conclusion, I also congratulate all of you. I congratulate the Muslims, especially because of the coming of the holy month of Ramadan. And I pray to God that we all be able to fast, that we are all successful, that we all be able to perform our duties to Allah in this holy month, and that this month be really a month for forgiveness and a month for renewing our strength and retaining our dignity and honor. I pray to God that He prevent all divisions and all problems from prevailing in our Arab and Islamic countries. I pray to Him that we all be successful, We're successful in upholding our honor, in being happy and benefiting from this life and the aftermath. And happy anniversary, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.